If you got your Bibles, I'm glad I got a Bible. I'm glad that it's inspired and infallible. Ain't got no problems. It don't have any problems. I got problems, but it don't have no problems. Somebody say amen. I've been preaching out of the same book for 46 years. Still works. Still got a message. Once you turn to Titus chapter number 2 and stand to your feet. Titus chapter number 2. It's good to be out to God's house. See such a good crowd. There's some folks sick. I found out this evening that Julie Chapman's not feeling well. We want to pray for her and others that's not well this evening. You pray for them. And I'm glad for his good grace and mercy on us. Titus chapter number 2. I'm going to preach on a big, big subject tonight. It covers everything in the Christian life. The subject I'm preaching tonight covers it all. Doesn't leave anything out. And you'll see that tonight in the passage. Titus chapter 2. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Go down with me to verse number. Let's start at verse number 7. And we'll read down to verse number 15. The Bible said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, or showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now here comes the big subject. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, amen, and godly in this present world, looking, yeah, whoo, for that blessed hope, amen, and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Our Father, thank you for the grace of God. I ask you tonight, as I deal with this marvelous subject, that you'll help me preach like I've never preached before. Lord, give me an energy physically. Give me insight spiritually and emotionally and mentally, that I'll be able to communicate with power and authority and clarity the Word of God. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. In Acts chapter number 27, you remember Paul went on the ship and he told them we shouldn't go, but they went anyway. You do know as they were traveling, they went to the island of Crete. This passage of scripture in Titus is surrounding the island of Crete and the ministry that was going on in that island. We know that Paul then went to Rome, came back to the island of Crete. They established a independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church there. And the church was thriving. And then Paul had to leave, and he left Titus there to organize the church. Titus done a good job in Corinth. Now, Titus, Paul said this about two people in the Bible. He said this about Titus, and he said this about Timothy. They were my son in the Lord. Now, I heard somebody get up one time, and I know they put their foot in their mouth. They said Paul had two children. It was Titus and Timothy. They were not his physical children. But I'll tell you what he did. He won them to Jesus. And by the way, if you win somebody to Jesus, you ought to be a part in their discipleship. Amen. And he discipled them, and then they became great, great students of the Bible, great men of God. Titus proved himself in Corinth. Now Paul was allowing Titus to do a work there in Crete, and thus he wrote this letter. Now, what he's teaching us in the book of Titus is how a local church should be led. This church was going through things every church goes through. It was being inundated with false teachers. I want you to know something. If it wasn't for a strong preacher and a strong staff and strong deacons, there'd be false people trying to get in here. And we've had them try to get in here before. And I'm not going to apologize. We don't let them last long. That's one guy come to me and said, can I work in Awana? You know what I said? No. Amen. He said, can I member the church? Be a member of the church? You know what I said? No. Amen. I know some of y'all thinking, you're harsh. I want you to know something. You hear me out. If you don't believe what we believe in our Constitution and what on Baptist doctrine, and if you're a Calvinist, and if you're one of these replacement theologists, and you don't believe in premillennialism, you ain't teaching in our Awana Club. You're not teaching in the church. And if you can't read the right, use the right Bible, you're not teaching anywhere. Amen. Good preaching. He said, why are you so straight? Because I'm not going to allow somebody to come into this church, and he wrote what's going on here that's took us 40 years to build since I've been. Ha, 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 ha. Now, let me give you two or three things by way of introduction. This will help you. First of all, he addresses in chapter 1 how the pastor should live. Here's what he said about the pastor. The pastor should be a family man. The pastor should be a faithful man. The pastor should be a focused man. The pastor should be a firm man. And the pastor should be a fellowshipping man. Somebody say amen. You know what? We got a bunch of preachers trying to preach behind the pulpit. Number one, ain't really been called by God. They've been mama said and daddy called. Ain't really been called by God. And they're in there. They're not family men. They're not faithful men. They're not focused men. They're not firm men. They're not fellowship men. They're just there for the nickel and the noses. They're just there for a paycheck. Ladies and gentlemen, God sent me here. I didn't get a big paycheck. God's blessed me since, but I want you to know something. It ain't about a paycheck. It's about being faithful to God. Help me now. Then he talks about the parishioners. I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. He talked about the parishioners that heard the truth. And by the way, how many of y'all agree the truth's the most important thing that goes on in this church? It's not all of our programs. Thank God for programs. We got some of the greatest programs in a New Testament church that I've ever seen. I mean, this is a great place to have have your children in and to be a part of. But I want you to know it is not the programs that make Thames Valley Baptist strong. It's the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, every program we have, we put out the gospel. Amen. Yes, sir. And then he goes on, if you check chapter 2, and he even tells about the parishioners. Then he talks about the parishioners, how they ought to hear the truth. Then he even shows a guideline on how to get this thing going good. He says the older men ought to teach the younger men. Then he said the older women ought to teach the younger women. I want you to know something. We're messing up in our churches today. We need men of stature to mentor young men. Amen. And then we need women that are mature, older women, to teach the younger women. Hello. It ain't my job to teach women. And I'm very careful in counseling girls. And I don't counsel girls unless a young lady, unless somebody's around me. Because I know some preachers done fail and not even in the ministry, and some of them in jail right now because they did that stuff. Because, see, we don't follow the pattern we ought to follow. Let the older men teach the younger men. Let the older women teach the younger ones. Somebody help me preach. You want a strong preacher? Church, you need women that's strong and men strong, and that we'll help each other to be strong in the Lord. Oh, I'm coming, son. Don't you worry. Then number three, I want you to notice this by way of introduction. That gets me into the message. I want you to notice Titus's plight. Now here's Titus's plight. He is trying to get this church to match their sound doctrine with spiritual demonstration. He is trying to get this church to have the right kind of belief. And if you get the right kind of belief, you should have the right kind of behavior. Somebody help me preach. There's a bunch of people that carry the Bible, but the Bible's not carrying them. Amen? Let me ask you something. Who's going to build a house with a strong doctrinal foundation and then build a structure that's trashy? That building out there we just built, 19,000 square feet, ain't, listen to me, I'll be falling down sideways before that foundation goes. But wouldn't that have been awful if we were to put five, and it cost $528,000 just to get out of the ground back there. Because it's murky and muddy. And wouldn't that be awful then if we'd have just slopped around and made an ugly building back there? No. A great foundation deserves a great building. You know what he's saying? He said, don't you have a foundation that you believe in Jesus and then you have a trashy life? Am I preaching? Like, this is just as good as this morning. It just might be a little pointed. See, I believe the grace of God that saved you, also the grace of God can help you in every area of your life. So what is grace? It's the unmerited favor of God. You like the crossing, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Can I give you a more practical definition of grace? It's the divine influence of God on the heart and the effect it has on the heart. If you read the epistles, it talks about singing in grace, speaking with grace, standing in grace, serving with grace, suffering with grace, grace that is sufficient. Ladies and gentlemen, there's too many people in the churches today that have a belief, but they don't have a behavior. Good preaching, Reverend. Now, I want y'all to follow me carefully. I'm going to try to move. If I'm going to move, you're going to move with me. And I hope you're following me very carefully. Let me show you. Grace covers it all. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Grace covers it all. Amen. I'm going to give you three things and we'll go home. Look at verse number 11. The Bible said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to what? To all men. Number one, it covers the converted life. You cannot be saved outside the grace of God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hey, you cannot be saved by your church membership. You cannot be saved by living right. You cannot be saved by doing the sacraments. The only way to be saved is to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Let me say three things about this grace, this converting grace. Look with me in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. What did it say? For the grace of God. I want all y'all to look at me. Your salvation did not originate with a man. It did not, what's that woman's name? Originate with Mary Baker Eddy, Patterson Glover, whatever. It did not start with Joseph Smith and the Mormons. or Rutherford and the Jehovah Witnesses, or the Campbellites. No, the grace of God originated before the foundation of the world in a big old plan that God had for every sinner, that they could be saved by the grace of God. He originated your salvation. The outcome of your salvation does not depend on you, but depends on Him. It has sovereign origin. Look here. It has saving output. Look what it said. Woo! Man, I like this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. What's it bring? Salvation. Deliverance. Listen to this. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I am being saved from the power of sin. And one of these days I'll be saved from the presence of sin. There's three gate doctrines there. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. That's justification. I've been saved from the power of sin. That's sanctification. And one of these days I'll be saved from the presence of sin. That's glorification. Not by Buddha, not by Muhammad, not by baptism, not by church membership, but the grace of God bringeth salvation.
Amen.
Y'all liking this? Then it has a splendid outreach. You like that? Let me see if I can get this right. To a certain elect. To all men. One of the biggest heresies that's going on in Baptist churches.
That's right.
A bunch of independents, it's eating them up now. And it's eating up the Southern Baptists. Man, it's got that crowd. Most of the things coming out of that convention right now are nothing but Reformed theologists and Calvinists. And I want all y'all to know something. He died for all men.
Amen.
Amen. He's a propitiation for my sin, but not only for my sin, but for the sin of the whole world. Even Calvin, when he's getting ready to die, had to rebunk his own theory and say that can't be true. And it can't be true because we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who died for the world. Whew. Hallelujah. You say, why you preach that so much? Because there's so much mess going on around it. Yeah. There's only one thing gets you in God's club, and that's salvation. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You said you're hard on that crowd. That's a bunch of heretics. Anybody that has a tulip for a foundation is a heretic. They have a tulip religion. They say they believe in total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saints. I want y'all all to know I don't believe one thing they believe. I ain't a 1 point, I ain't a half point, I ain't a third point, I ain't 2 points, I ain't 4 points, I'm a 0 point Calvinist. And I want you to know something. I heard one of them Yehu said the other day, you couldn't be a Baptist if you're not a Calvinist. I am a Baptist, and I was a Baptist, and we had Baptist church before there ever was a Calvinist. They don't even know they're saved. The only way they'll ever know they're saved is if they persevere. They don't believe in the preservation of the saints. They believe in the perseverance of the saints. Here's what that means. That means if you were elected, which you don't know. And you know all them guys? They say they're elected and their wife's elected and their children's elected. Huh? That's what they do. Well, how do they know? And here's how they say they'll find out. It's if they endure to the end, if they persevere. Well, that ain't nothing but a work salvation. That's dependent on me, not you. I want you to know the grace of God. You don't have to depend on anything but the grace of God to get you to heaven. Thank God for grace.
Glory to God.
I'm going to get some hate mail, but I don't give a flip. Number two, write this down. I'm trying to hurry. Woo! grace of God covers it all. Now notice number two, look at verse 12. Are y'all there? Ooh, glory. You're there, but I lost my place. Now I got it. Whew. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Let me give you this second thing. Not only do we see the conversion, but I see the cultivated learning. When you get saved, the grace of God enrolls you in school. You don't get enrolled in God's school till you get God's grace. I'm ashamed of some of them, but we got some church members, they flunk in school. There's some people that says they're saved, they flunk in school. They in school, but they flunking. See, I got the grace of God don't just save you, Kim. It teaches you something. We in school. Boy, I need to preach this. You say, what kind of school you're in? I'm in God's school. Now, I want you to notice, look, just follow. Y'all got your Bible? I see an emphatic denial. Teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust. See, when God's grace saved you and God sealed you, then he expects you to deny corrupt deeds, ungodliness. Why is it that there's Christians today? Here's my belief. I don't know what your belief is. I do know what yours is. I believe we ought to get as close to God as we can and see how much we can stand of it. Instead of being as far away from God as we can and see how much we can get away with. Amen. Hey, y'all shouted this morning. This is just a doctrine this morning. Good preaching, Reverend. You deny ungodliness, corrupt deeds. You deny carnal desires, worldly lust. See, when Jesus invaded you, he brought salvation and he brought sanctification. That word denying means disowning. Disowning. Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means outfit. When you're by your computer tonight and your hand gets on the mouse and you're getting ready to go into your porno, grace ought to keep you away from it. Oh, yes, that's good preaching. I better step back. Had people this morning thought I was going to die. Listen, that grace, it'll keep you from porno. It will keep you from drinking. It will keep you from your dope and opioids and the illicit affairs and perversion. Am I preaching?
Amen.
See, I really believe this. I believe not only does grace save me, grace enables me to live for God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Whew. Hallelujah. Emphatic denials. Yeah. See, when God set up a residence in your life, it ought to affect your life. Somebody say amen. Then there ought to be an express demonstration. Look at verse 12. We should live what? Soberly. A serious composure. Now, some of you serious out on the golf course. Grant, you serious on the golf course. And you're serious, but you ain't worth a flip. You're better than me, though. Man, they get serious out there, man. I took a staff out the other day to play golf, just, my appreciation for them. I just want to take him out. And I did. I took him out golfing. Man, people take this thing serious. Now, we had four guys, and we were moving quite along. And some outfit behind us calls up on us and says we're playing too slow. And I thought, knucklehead, you're taking this thing too serious. And there's some of you about your football. You take it too serious. I wonder why you don't take your spirituality more serious. I wonder why you don't take giving out tracts and loving God and working for God more serious. Soberly. Good preacher, Reverend. Then I see spiritual character, righteously. My buddy, George O'Brien, loved one sermon I preached. He loved them all, but he loved this one the best. When I preached on do right, we just need to do right. We need to live righteously. Something's wrong, we ought not do it. Something's right, we ought to do it. Then superlative Christ-likeness and be godly. Then you say, then I see an executed domain. Where should we live right in this present world? Now, this is going to be taken wrong, but I'm going to say it like this anyway. There's a bunch of these guys here coming out of the closet. I don't want to get on that, but there's some Christians ought to come out of the closet for God. In this present world, I still believe we got a God with grace that help us overcome anything this world has to offer to us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I got a great God that lives in me. Am I preaching? Grace covers it all. Then lastly, I'm done. Boy, this here's the best part. Did I say grace was good? Yeah. It converts us. Yeah. It puts us in school. It teaches us. But look at verse number 13. How many got verse 13? I want every one of y'all to read it with me. Because thirdly, I see a compelled look. Would y'all read it with me? Looking. Well, that's sick. Come on. Looking for that blessed hope. And glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I got saved. I'm being sanctified. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. One of these days, the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I've got a persuaded anticipation. I'm looking up. The out looks dark, but the up looks bright. I got a preeminent appreciation. First time he came as a lamb. The next time he comes, he's coming as the Lion of Judah and the Root of David. Whew. Woo! Man, I'm having fun tonight. Then I see an impeccable deity. Look here. His authenticity. Look. Glory. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Are y'all with me? Of that great what? That's his impeccable deity. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Somebody say amen. Oh, he was 100% God and 100% man. He is the God that made the dumb speak. He's the God that spit on clay and used these DNA and put it on a man's eyes, and yes, so he could see. Somebody help me preach. God called him God. His mama called him God. And Jesus was God. Amen. Boy, that'll get you off the rail with the Mormons. And the Jehovah false witnesses. Hello. Then I see. I'm trying to hurry. Then I see incredible deliverance. Great God and Savior. You're telling me God and Jesus is one? And God was our Savior. Oh, you got it. And now I see a provisional accomplishment. I'm trying to finish. Look at verse 14. Who gave himself for us as sacrificial presentation, that he might redeem us from all iniquity at sufficient price. He paid it all. He paid it all. How many believes he paid it all? I like this little quote. I'm going to quote this. When Jesus died, God wrote the check for your salvation. And when he rose again, it cleared the bank. He was declared with power from the resurrection of the dead. He was buried and he arose the third day. Somebody help me preach. Now see a superlative pardon. Are y'all seeing all this? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity? My goodness, I'm pardoned from my sin. I see a specific purpose to purify, definite purification, distinct possession. I'm a peculiar person, a dedicated passion, zealous of good works. I want to say something about the church. Them 35 men that went out Thursday night and 46 people went out, say that's 81. And how many people did y'all have working in that food pantry? Holler at me. 50? Somebody help me. He said, well, all these people wanting to do something because they're zealous unto good works. See, I really believe this. If you get Christ and you believe him, it ought to affect your behavior. Huh? It ought to want you to be a soul winner. It ought to want you to you live for God, to be an influence on somebody else. Am I preaching? Amen. See, grace covers it all. It covers it when you get saved. Covers it while you're saved. And it covers it when he's coming back for you. Amen. Let me ask you something. I'm done. You're in this room. You're saved. Now, I'll ask you a question. I'm done. Does your behavior commend your belief? Does it compliment it? Are you behaving because of what you believe? Or are you funking school? You funking school, you're using alcohol or social drinking. Come on now. Am I preaching? Living like some alley cat. That's back at 50s preaching. Some of y'all wouldn't understand that. What we got ought to fix something. Grace covers it all. I want to tell you something. I know you're going through a big test Wednesday. I do want to tell you this. I've got to go to the doctor tomorrow too. I'm dreading it. But I do know this. His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Y'all believe that?
Yes.
His grace is sufficient. I wonder how many of y'all, you know you're saved, but you're kind of flunking class. You got some stuff in your behavior just ain't right. You know what y'all do? Y'all just not worry about what any church people think and come up here and get this thing close to God right now. Amen? Stand with me. I'm finished. His bow now is closed. I want to make sure of something. I'm preaching a little grace of God. I want to make sure of something. Here's what I'm going to make sure of. How many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand. Come on now, sip it up. How many of you don't know for sure you're saved? How many of you don't know for sure you're saved? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you, you're not living your belief, and you need to get some things right with God, your attitude and your action? Why don't you just come around God, the altar, and say, God, I need a touch from you. Father, thank you for the message. I'm glad that grace covers it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you coming? Thank
grace,
you.
Grace,
oh, yeah.
God's grace. Grace that will
yes,
pardon
amen.
And cleanse.
you, Lord. Let's be dismissed. Our Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you that I'm saved by grace. Thank you that I've been enrolled in class by the grace of God. And I'm learning. I'm learning, Lord, to deny things and demonstrate things. And God, help us all to be good students of your word. We'll praise you now. Bless those that are sick. I know Miss Sherry, her back's bad. I pray for her and Miss Chapman, others, so many others that's not doing well. I want to pray for them. I want to pray for my dear friend, Keith Lefsom, who's up a hospice house and not many days left. God, I pray for him. Give him that strength he needs and his family. Comfort them. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. God bless you. Good night.